Are you ready? He's back. He's better. And he's got something to say. You've tuned in for your daily inspiration. Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
David Mastin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the I've Got Something to Say podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. In with another episode this week on this Tuesday afternoon, or Tuesday night, Tuesday morning, whenever you're listening to it. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be in another week. Coming to you just with some more insight. A friend of mine told me that they felt like listening to my podcast was sort of like listening to my diary or getting to know me better. Excuse me. And so at first I didn't know how to take that, but I'm grateful that I've gotten to the place in my life where I can open up and bless people with the things that either God is dealing with me or has delivered me from or is still working me towards. A lot of the things that I talk about are things that God is currently dealing with me on and trying to work out of me. I know last week's message was trust and wait, which is something that I've always had an issue with. And so in saying that, I think that you know, me opening up and giving people an insight on my personal life, but also giving them a message that God has given me, is like super powerful. You know what I mean? Like, there was a moment in ministry where the only thing that I discussed was the Bible, which of course in your ministry, if you're talking about God, the Bible should somehow be incorporated, especially if it's the foundation, the base of what you believe. But I would leave out personal experience sometimes, because I didn't want to be vulnerable to people, because I thought people would throw stones or that people wouldn't understand. But I appreciate this, this platform has given me to reach to people, to bless people, to minister to people, and hopefully, you know, help people bring themselves closer to God, and God be glorified, right? So today's episode is about trying to define that thin line between selfishness and self-love. Especially in today's world, where it's all about mental therapy and, making sure that you're good, make sure that your own mental state is good, which is all perfectly fine, right? Because you should do those things. You should make sure that you're fine. You should make sure that you know, mentally that you're sound, spiritually that you're sound, that you are indeed paying attention to your own self and paying attention to your own well-being and paying attention to your success in your life and making sure that you're taking care of you. That is extremely important. However, there's also another side to our lives that is very much so important, and that is making sure that others are taken care of as well. I think a lot of times we equate that to just individuals who are in the social field. So if you're in some type of social service, social worker, psychiatrist, community advocate or whatever, I think a lot of times we think that those are the only fields that should be responsible for helping people. It's just like we have the same idea in regards to the institutional four walls of the church. I'm not referring to the body. I'm referring to the places where we go and we worship. We think that the purpose of that church is that the church should be the primary focus, on the well-being of the community. When in fact, though that should be one of the responsibilities of the church, the main responsibility of the church is to make sure that souls are saved. The second is the community aspect and showing love to people. Let me rephrase that. The second is the community aspect, right? The foundation of the church is to win souls. It's about the salvation of individuals. But also incorporated in that should be community advocacy. That's biblical, right? In Acts, they talk about making sure that the church took care of the widow, right? Making sure that the widows were well taken care of and not necessarily taken care of by the pastor or the apostles at the time. It was making sure that there was systems set up to take care of them and to make sure that they were well off. And that gives us an insight that the church was never supposed to be one dimensional and only, just being a place where salvation and worship can occur, but also to take care of its community, those that were in the vicinity of wherever that church was built up. So, you know, yes, it should be, the church should share some responsibility in it, but the individual people who are within that community or the individual people, period, should be concerned in regards to helping others. And I think what sometimes makes us selfish is that we depend on the social service to do all the work when the social service needs your assistance. They need volunteers. They need your finances. They need your help, your ability, your time, your effort, to perform in, well in these communities. I say that to say this, that while we should definitely take care of ourselves, we have to be careful that in taking care of ourselves, we have not become selfish. And this thought really came to me one day. I was chilling with somebody and, you know, the thought came while I was with this individual, what do I do for them? Like, have I done anything for them? Like, am I being selfish? Am I only concerned with what they do for me and not concerned with what I do for them? Right? What do I do for them? What can I do for them? What can I supply them? What can I being of assistance with, right? And I think sometimes in my life, I can become one dimensional or one track minded. And that's one of the signs of you're becoming selfish. One of the signs that you are becoming selfish is that you only care about your thoughts, your abilities, your actions, and just what that does to you, right? And so because that's all you care about, you can become either demonstrative in your actions towards others, or you can become so self-willed that the way that others feel or how others are doing don't matter to you. I'll give you an example. Individuals that brag about them being so, you know, tell it like it is, you know, everybody knows somebody who says, oh, I'm blunt. Oh, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you say about me. If it's on my mind, I'm going to say it because I can't hold that in. Number one, the Bible talks about minding your tongue. In other words, mind what you say. The Bible talks about he that's able to bridle its own tongue, his own tongue or her own tongue, can bridle the whole body. Meaning that if I can control my mouth, then that is the beginning of self-control over the rest of my body. That's first. The second thing is that anybody that says, I don't care what you think about what I say, or I don't care what anybody thinks about what I do, it's coming from a selfish viewpoint. Because essentially what you're saying is, what I have to say is more important than how you feel. Now, I'm not calling for the over sensitive, right? I'm not calling for those that, I'm not talking about those that are easily offended, that would be offended if you said hi or if you said hello, right? You didn't say hello, you said hi. I'm offended, right? I'm not talking about things like, though that's a drastic example, I'm not referring to something like that. I'm referring to the fact that we have become unconscious of what we say to people, and we've become insensitive, and we only care about our goal, our process, our agenda. I'll give you another example. Sometimes when you are ministering, or, you know, sometimes you hear preachers that come and they're very dogmatic against homosexuality. They will use derogatory terms towards individuals they're trying to save. And it boggles me how you could get up and a minister will call somebody a dyke or bulldagger or something. Right now, something really, really, really dogmatic and insulting, and expect that that's going to win somebody to Christ. I'm not referring to watering down the message, because that's sometimes that's what we allude to. When people say, man, you know, sometimes we can be, you know, if somebody says to a minister, hey man, what you said is insensitive, what we allude that to is no, you want me to water down this message. I ain't going to water down this message. That there is a selfish mindset. You only care about what you have to say. And it's not about communicating what God has to say at that point, because at that point, you're only concerned about getting a message across. But the Bible talks about he that winneth souls is wise. And so you're so selfish and you're so self-centered that you're not even willing to recalculate and to take back into account that maybe how I'm coming across is not delivering a message that can deliver, but delivering a message that is cannot be heard because I'm insulting and not preaching. I'm shooting the dozens. I ain't trying to deliver you. I'm calling you names over the pulpit. No. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Because most of us, if we could take back in our lives the personal things that we've done wrong, if somebody came to us and called you a liar, an adulterer, a fornicator, a hoe, because you've made some mistakes in your life, or maybe you're not living up to people's standards, or because maybe there's some areas you're trying to improve in, if somebody picked on that sensitivity part of your life, you would be just as offended as the person who you're insulting over your platform. Now, again, I don't want to dog this point. My point is not to pick on people. My point here is to say that sometimes we can have a selfish mindset where we are inconsiderate of others, that we only care about what we have to say. We only care about what we think. And when you have a one track mind, that is a selfish mindset that is also embedded in pride. You being self-centered and only caring about you and what you think is, you're being self-centered, you're being selfish. The Bible says, I want to pull this scripture up because I believe that it could give us some insight. Excuse me. It can give us some insight on what we should be doing as children of God. The scripture says, Ephesians 4:32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 4:32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's an unselfish mindset. To be kind towards people, to be tenderhearted towards people, to forgive other people, as God has been these things for us, He wants you to do to others. That's an unselfish mindset. That's an unselfish thought pattern. That is an unselfish way to think. Another sign that you are selfish. Not only you having a one track mind, and only your thoughts and your opinions mattering. You take another example of you being selfish is you taking care of yourself better than others. Now I wanna make sure that I'm drawing the distinction here, because here now is where we can really tune into the difference between self-love and you just being plain old selfish, right? I want to read this scripture. This next set of scriptures here, y'all have to forgive me. I'm flipping through different chapters and different books. But it says it says, let in Philippians chapter number 2:3, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Paul says, let us esteem others. Let us treat others better than we treat ourselves. The New Life Translation says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than you." Another translation says, "Instead of being motivated," New English translation says, "instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should in humility be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself." That's how we should be treating each other. When you would prefer to succeed over somebody else, when you would prefer, you advancing, and so you're going to mistreat other people so that you can get where you want to get to, you are selfish. When you're not happy that others want to succeed, you are selfish. When you would rather you be well off than others, you're selfish. Notice, and let me, because I want to point this the scriptures next to this. So Philippians, I read to you Philippians 2:3. The next scripture is verse 4 Which says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus was so unselfish that he didn't think about himself more than he thought about helping others. When it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that's what he's talking about. Jesus did not let anything be done through strife or vainglory. He in lowliness of his mind esteemed others better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That is the perfect example of Jesus. Jesus wanted you saved. Jesus wanted you successful. Jesus wanted you healed. Jesus wanted you to be set free. So he was willing to deny himself so that you could be free, so that you could succeed, so that you could be helped. Now notice, Jesus did not neglect himself. Because now here's where we define the distinction between self-love and selfishness. The distinction between the two now is that one, you have no feelings or regard about others compared to the other, which says, I'm going to take care of you and me. I'll say this. The Bible talks about in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, all throughout the Bible, you will hear this saying or this scripture that says, love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, he's not telling you to neglect you, right? He's not saying that you should be without. See, Jesus's needs was always met. Jesus did not lack for anything. Jesus had food to eat. Jesus had everything that he needed, or everything that he should have. Jesus had it, right? And so Jesus was able to, but Jesus's mindset was that I didn't come just for me. I came to help others. I came to sacrifice myself for others. And the mindset that we all have to get to, especially if you call yourself a believer or a child of God or to be in Christianity, is that, man, that's the mindset that I have to develop, which is that I have to want others to succeed. I have to want others to do well. I have to be a servant. Jesus tells the disciples in one passage of scripture that the greatest among you is he that serves the most. He that serves the most is the one that is the greatest among you. The one that's the most unselfish, man. The one that doesn't think only about themselves. See, therapy is great, but you should also want somebody else to get therapy. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that sometimes I went to therapy, right? And therapy helped me. So when I'm talking to others and others are going through maybe some depression or maybe they're going through some rough times in their lives, I advise to them to speak with somebody. Even individuals who have relationship issues, I advise them, you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to a counselor. You need to talk to a therapist. You need to talk to somebody. And because I know that there were some benefits for me. Self-care does not mean that you punish you, right? Self-care does not mean you go hungry, that your kids go hungry so that you can feed somebody else's kids, right? Dads that will take care of a woman's kids more than he will take care of, of his own kids that he developed with somebody else. I'm pretty sure we've heard of that scenario before where dad will go, he's dating a woman, and so he takes care of that woman's kids better than he takes care of his own kids that he had with somebody else. Mm-mm. That's wrong. Right? You should care about others just as much as you would care about yourself. Meaning, if I want to succeed, that means I want you to succeed as well. In the next verse in Philippians, where it talks about how Jesus was so humble and Jesus sacrificed so much that man, I want to read this to you. It says, look what the Bible says about Jesus, right? And in verse 8 in Philippians 2, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In other words, because he was so unselfish, God exalted him. Man, God gave him a name that was above every name, that he made the ultimate unselfish act, that he made the ultimate, he was so willing that others would succeed, that God exalted his name above every name, because there was nobody else that could do what he did. And because he did it, his name is exalted above the earth. That at his name, demons are cast out. At his name, healing takes place. That at his name, salvation is entered through Jesus Christ because of his unselfish act. Now, we could never match that. But the example here is that when we become unselfish, God exalts us. The formula is the same. The formula is, the less that I am worried, let me rephrase. The formula is that the more I esteem others, the more God esteems me. The principle is the same. There's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about he that giveth to the poor lendeth unto God. Man, that's powerful. In other words, you give to the poor is almost like you having a loan to God that God's going to pay back. Man, that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful mindset. But the only way we can get there is if we become unselfish. Man, and please, like I said, the distinguishing factor here, the line that you and I have to draw. I'm not telling you to get on a cross with nobody, right? Even though there's metaphors about picking up your cross and following God, right? It's not literally saying to be nailed to the cross, but it's saying that you have to pick up your own burden, or you have to pick up your own sacrifice, and you have to serve. Like you have to do that, right? I'm not telling you that you have to die on the cross, that you gotta, what I'm saying to you is that there should be a distinguishing factor between self-love and you being selfish. Self-love is not taking away from others. Self-love is saying that I need therapy, so I'm going to go. But I'm not going to preach against somebody getting therapy because I know it can help. Self-love says is that I'm going to do what I need to do to succeed, and I'm going to also help you to succeed as well. Self-love says that I don't hate me, so I don't hate you. Self-love says that I want forgiveness, so I'm going to give forgiveness. Self-love says that I want to be the best, so I want you to be the best. Self-love does not take away from anybody else. It does not mistreat people. To love thy neighbor as thyself. That if I want to eat, I want you to eat. There's a huge line. And I think sometimes as people, we can get those lines mixed up. I know that I have. And I know there's something that God is working on me with, right? I can be stingy. I can be greedy. I can only care about how I feel at the moment and not caring about what somebody else feels and how somebody else feels about their life. Right? I can do that. I can admit that even in my previous marriage, I was selfish. There were moments where I was selfish. I only cared about how I felt because I could only see my feelings. It's facts. And I have to ask God to help me with that. And to forgive me for that. And to move on and to be better. I'm not trying to preach against anybody. And I'm getting ready to go, y'all. I just think that we have to sometimes not only care about us, but we have to care about others. And that we can't leave it to one group or to one person or to one individual to help others. But we all got to be willing to do it. So I'm going to pray. And I hope that you all can take the challenge of helping somebody just like you want the help or that you would like to help. Every now and then, help somebody with their lunch. Pay for somebody's lunch because you would want somebody to pay for yours. We have to work on being less selfish, loving ourselves, and loving our neighbors at the same time. Father, I thank you so much for this message. I thank you so much, God, for helping us through it. I thank you, Lord, so much for keeping us, blessing us, and Lord God, you being in our lives. Father, forgive us. God, we can be selfish people sometimes. And God, to be honest, we need your help in that area and in every area of our lives. God, I'm asking that you be with us. I'm asking that, God, you help us. I'm asking that, God, you have mercy on us. I'm asking that, God, you deliver us and forgive us and help us, God, to esteem others better than ourselves. Help us not to be one-track minded and help us not to only concern ourselves with our own success, but to push others to be just as successful. And God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I lift you up. And I believe you to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Man, I'm so excited about the things that that we've been able to do in this podcast. Sorry for going a little bit over. But again, thank y'all so much. I appreciate your help. I appreciate you, your assistance. Share this word, share it with somebody, man. If you think it'll help, if it helped you, help somebody else. Share it on, like, subscribe, listen. And I appreciate all your assistance. Until next time, peace.
Make sure you subscribe to the I've Got Something to Say podcast and all your podcast streaming services.